Join me in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. As you look through the holy text, there are literally hundreds of passages, thousands, I don't know the number, throughout the Bible that express the character and nature of God's love in one form or fashion or another. It is one of the great attributes of our God that we speak of. But the simplest and most practical passages concerning the love of God would probably, we would have to say, would be written by the Apostle John, the beloved one of the Lord Jesus. And so I have gone to one of these passages. It's funny, I find myself in 1 John often. And so I pray your patience with me there once again. But the simplicity and the practical nature of John's writings here I want to bring to you. So 1 John 4, 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I would like to stop there. Here John speaks of love repeatedly. And three simple words stand out to me. God is love. Simple. Three words. God is love. He doesn't only express love in his essence, in his nature, in his being, in his character, in his substance, as I've said, he is love. He, through the Holy Spirit, does not only teach love, he is love. He doesn't direct us, as John is doing here, to love one another. He doesn't stop there. He is, of his being, of his nature, of his character, of his substance, is love. The challenge for us is to comprehend that. The challenge for us is to comprehend what John is speaking of here. God is love. You see, God is infinite. God is perfect. God is pure in his substance, in his being. And so everything about him follows that same character. If God is perfect and holy and righteous, then in this case, his love is holy and perfect and righteous. And our lack of ability to comprehend fully has to do with who we are. We are finite. We are sinful. And so our thinking of his love is also finite and tainted with our sin. And so as we think about this term, God is love, we must admit we cannot fully comprehend what that means. And for that reason, many times we end up talking about His love using our own imaginations. We end up talking about His love using our own words, using our own rumblings. We sometimes create a God in His love that suits our desires. Instead of submitting to God and His love and submitting to this idea that we cannot fully comprehend His love, we try to create something we can get our hands around. We try to come to grips and describe that love in our own words and use things that suit us. We try to form ideas about God and His love that we understand so that we can accept it and live in it. It's difficult. It's difficult to comprehend John saying God is love. And so here, I guess, is why I go to John so often. He seeks to help us in realizing our limitations, realizing our inabilities. John, the Holy Spirit, doesn't use these great otherworldly terms. He doesn't use these great and high and majestic heavenly terms. When he speaks of God's love, I think John was a realist. He was a practical kind of man, I believe, in reading his work. He used terms and actions that we can get our hands on. Look at verse 7 again. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." What John is saying here is that everyone who loves is in a fashion understanding the love of God. And when we show that to each other, we are testifying that we do understand a little bit of that love. Do you love? Oh yeah, Tim, I love. Okay. Do you biblically love? That's what I believe. I know this is what John is speaking of. First Corinthians 13 is where we go most often to speak of God's love, to speak of love. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. A little test for you. A good friend of mine showed me this test. Wherever the word love is used, put your name. And wherever the word it is used, put your name. Tim is patient. All right? I just failed. Tim is kind. Tim does not envy. At the beginning of the service, I mentioned I was envy. Tim does not boast. No response, please. Tim is not proud. Tim is not rude. Tim is not self-seeking. Tim is not easily angered. Tim keeps no record of wrongs. Tim does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Tim always protects. Tim always trusts. Tim always hopes. Tim always perseveres. How badly did I fail in loving biblically? When John says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, we all try. But when you make it that real, and you hang your name in it, we have so far to go. Secondly, John speaks of living in love as compared to living in fear. Many of us live in fear. Too much fear. Fear has no place in the love of God, as John points out here. Fear, But notice particularly what John is speaking of that we should have no fear of. It's not just a generic fear in general. He says it is referred to as a fear of judgment. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. So here John is saying that we should live in love as opposed to living in the fear of the punishment. Now for me, this is a very odd comparison or a union of terms to have a contrasting idea about. It doesn't work for me entirely. But going with John's teaching here, I ask the question, do you fear the punishment of God? Do you fear the judgment? Rather than have that fear of the judgment, John is saying we should live in the love which has attached to it the security and assurance of God through Jesus Christ. Which means we live in the knowledge, should live in the knowledge, that we have been redeemed from this fear. We have been redeemed from sin. We have been redeemed from the judgment of God. Living in love rather than living in fear means that we live in the confidence in the completed work of God. Now don't be confused. There will be a judgment day. And every Christian will face that judgment day. But for the Christian, it's not a day of judgment. That judgment for you has already passed. You were condemned. The day of judgment will be just simply the passing out of sentences. For the Christian, the completed work of Jesus Christ has your sentence secured. God called us to be his own, and he ordained all the things necessary to bring you to the position to where you understand Jesus Christ as Lord. He sent his Holy Spirit to you as a guarantee of the love he has for you and the freedom from the fear of judgment. Jesus said, "It is finished." Do you believe that? Better yet, do we live? Do our actions portray that we believe that? Do we live in the confidence that God has indeed secured us from the judgment? We should not look at the day of judgment with disdain or horror or fear. Because guess what happens on the day of judgment? You get to see Jesus. That's a day we fear? Hardly. Hardly. So living in the love of God means that we have a great confidence in this life and a great confidence in the day of judgment. Yes, we will give an account for what has been our history. But all along, Jesus Christ will be there saying, "This one's mine." That completed work of Jesus Christ is where John takes us now to reveal the extreme magnitude of God's love. Look at verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. At the cross of Jesus Christ, we see the great total capacity of God's love. At the cross, we see the manifestation of the statement, "God is love." Only in the pure, perfect love could such a drastic, yet necessary act ever be accomplished. Through the work on the cross, that completed work on the cross, we who are fallen, we who are sinful, we who have no hope at all, bound for Satan's hell are recipients of the greatest act of love that has ever been. God is love. And in Jesus Christ, He has shown you that love. So what is the love of God? It is very difficult to describe in our limited vocabulary, in our limited ability, but we can see it. We can experience it. And we acknowledge it when we profess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as Lord. Verse 13, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges, here it is, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you profess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God? Do you profess that He is indeed your Savior? If so, then you know something of God's love. You experience God's love. You have a bit of comprehension of God's love. This table we have before us that we will now join together in represents God's love. If you understand this table, if you understand what this table means, then the Holy Spirit that was promised to you as a guarantee of God's love for you resides in you, which means that you know of the love of God. So do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord? I pray you do. Do you understand what this table means to the Christian? Then again, we know something of God's love.